St. Luke tells us today that the people were filled with expectation. They knew something was coming. They had to know whether John was the Christ. They weren't too sure, and they asked him, and he said, No. I am not the Christ. I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. But there is one coming. They were filled with eager expectation. Are we filled with expectation? Are we filled with eager expectation? Now, I know there are some of you out there that are probably highly excited and filled with great expectation for Santa's coming. Some of the rest of us might not be so excited. Some of us might not be waiting with eager anticipation for Christmas. Some of us are thinking, oh, I still have to do my Christmas cards. I still have to bake all those cookies and get them out. And what else do I have to do? Oh no, there's so much stuff that I need to take care of. There's so much craziness. Are we filled with expectation? Or are we filled with craziness? It's a good question. And some of you are looking at your parents and saying, they're crazy. But Jesus is coming. And he's calling us to await him with eager joy. Yes, we celebrate his birth on Christmas, but this time of Advent also is a time of expectation, waiting for him coming at the end of time. And it is supposed to be a time of eager, joyful expectation, because that is when all of our desires will finally be fulfilled. That is when we will finally come to that which we have been waiting for all our lives. So the people in the gospel today asked John the Baptist three times, what should we do? What should we do? How do we prepare? How do we stir up that expectation? You'll note, he says, to live out your vocation with fidelity. When the tax collectors and the soldiers asked, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Do what you're supposed to do, but do it faithfully. And with the soldiers, do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone. And be satisfied with your wages. That's probably a hard one for many of us. Be satisfied with our wages. But in any case, these things he's saying, do follow your vocation. Follow your calling. It's not that you have to go and give up everything you're doing and travel halfway across the world in order to give food to the people in India. It's not like we have to go and work with Mother Teresa's sisters or anything like that, though some people certainly are called to that. But he's saying, live out your vocation with faithfulness, with fidelity. For some of you, it will be living with your infirmities and your struggles. For others, it will be living out as parents and as husband and wife and dealing with the daily trials of having to take care of a family. For others, younger than that, you have to deal with going to school, and that can be a real trial, but to do it with joy. To do it with joy. Your homework with joy. To do your homework without being asked 12 times by your parents with joy. Right, Father. Whatever you say, Father. But we live out our vocations where we are called to in this moment in our lives, seeking out God, being faithful to these things. That's how we prepare. We don't have to go seeking for things that are beyond us, greater than the skies. God has given us his will right in front of us, right here, right now. For those of you who were at the ecumenical prayer service, you'll remember that I made reference to this. And that is that I read a book several years ago called He Leadeth Me. And it's written about the life of Father Walter Kissek. And he kind of writes it, but he has a ghostwriter who's helping him because he's not so much of a writer. Father Walter Kissek was a Jesuit who grew up in America and decided that he wanted to go over and proclaim Jesus in Russia. Well, the only problem is when he was finally ordained and able to go over to Russia, Russia had closed its borders. And so he said, well, I'll go over to Poland anyways, and I'll serve the people there. And so he went to Poland, and he started serving the people there. And then World War II happened, and suddenly, without moving an inch, with the invasion of Russian troops, he was suddenly in Russia. So he moved into the mainland of Russia, and he wanted to proclaim Jesus there, and nobody would listen to him because it was dangerous in communist Russia. And so he ended up getting arrested and spending 5 years in solitary confinement and then 17 years in the Gulag in Siberia doing hard labor. Now, in that time, especially as he was in that solitary confinement, he had to wrestle very much with himself. And he came to realize a very important truth. And that very important truth is, he had been looking for God's plan in this great grand scheme of everything, when God's plan for his life was really right in front of him, right there. And so he came to realize, this ditch that I have to dig, that's God's plan for me for today. That's God's will for me. This person who came to me looking like they were going to ask for some advice but ended up stealing my bread, this is God's will for me today, to minister to that person, to love that person, to forgive that person. These people who are longing so much to receive confession, these are the people that are part of God's will for me today. We don't have to be looking for God's plan in some grand scheme. It's right there in front of us. The plan Jesus has for your life and for my life is right there in front of us. It may be that floor that needs to be washed. It may be that lawn that needs to be mowed in the summer. Or, thanks be to God, we haven't had to deal with this yet. The sidewalks that need to be shoveled. It may be clothing the naked if you have little children that are running around and you need to grab them and put the clothes on them. There are all sorts of things. Maybe just dealing with the suffering that you have today and offering it to God. We prepare ourselves and our hearts by being satisfied and recognizing God's hand and finger in our lives right here, right now. What should we do? Live out our vocations with fidelity.